Well, good morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. My hesitation this morning is I want to rant. I want to protest. I want to protest against perverts. Now, a pervert is one that turns things from front to back. The Bible tells us all the way back in Genesis about the perverts in Sodom and Gomorrah who want to carnally know the angels that came into Lot's house. In the book of Judges, it tells us in the 19th chapter, you go read them for yourself, about the perverts at Gibeah who want to know a priest, but instead take his, listen, concubine and have their way with her, I'm trying to be delicate, until she's dead. In the book of Micah, in the 3rd chapter, we read, "Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, for money, and the prophets thereof divine for money." Yet, will they lean upon the Lord and say, "Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed under." In the book of Amos, this is really kind of interesting. It almost stopped me from the message today. In the 5th chapter of the book of Amos, Word of God is saying, "For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just," or the righteous. "They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor and the gate from their right." This is what almost stopped me. "The prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time." But the worst perverts there are the ones that pervert the gospel. To turn back the gospel. That substitute, that wonderful gift of faith that comes from God to religion. It's a wonderful translation. Sorry, I can't even remember the translation at the moment. But it translates in that passage in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul is speaking to the philosophers on Mars Hill, and he says of them in the 22nd verse, he says, "For I passed by and held your devotions." Excuse me, 22nd verse. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things you are too superstitious.'" And this one translation, and several translations say, "You're fervently religious. You are extremely religious. You are scrupulously religious." And the one wonderful translation says, "You're very religious. You're very reverent to demons." And in the history of the church, people have been turned from religion, from creeds, from doctrines of men, which make of no effect the Word of God, by their traditions. Now, I read out of Micah, it says, "For the prudent will keep silence in the time, because the time is evil." Well, Paul, in that most wonderful book of Galatians, the Declaration of Independence for Christians, after he met in Jerusalem, 17 years after the Lord knocked him off his horse on the way to Damascus to continue persecuting the church and turned him around and gave him a new mind and personally taught him for 3.5 years. Paul tells the story where he comes to Jerusalem and he meets with the apostles, and he says, and if you want the fuller account, you'll find it in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. But Paul says, "These who seemed to be somewhat added nothing to me. I will not keep silence, no, not for an hour." That's why I almost was stopped by saying the prudent shall keep silent at that time. But I'm not going to keep silent. I'm not coming against any man. I'm coming against any man who perverts the gospel wherein is proclaimed 3 times in the New Testament, "The just shall live by faith." The better translation is, "The righteous shall live by faith," or "The righteous by faith shall live." I'm not going to stay silent for the gospel's sake, for the good news sake, for the God spiel sake, for those who have come under the influence of God's word and might be or are being turned around from that good news of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to something other than Jesus saves, no buts. Look, all evangelical Christianity agrees that by grace are ye saved, and then they add the buts. But now that you're saved, you better be doing this, and you better not be doing that. You better do this, and you better do that. We're going all through God's word today, folks. Fourth chapter of the book of Romans says in the fourth verse, "Now to him that worketh," that is, worketh the law, "the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt." Oh, look, God, I did this, I did that. Look, God, I stopped doing this, I stopped doing that. The preacher says, "Oh, I brought this guy to Jesus and it turned his life around." Let's continue. "But to him that worketh not," and if you had the Greek, the literal is "not at all." "But to him that worketh not at all, but faitheth on him," that is Jesus, "that justifies," "that righteousifies the ungodly," like me, "his faith is counted for righteousness." Paul opens Romans and he says, he's not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all the ones faithing. For therein, where? In the gospel, is a righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, and I'm going to give you the proper translation, "the righteous shall live by faith." In the third chapter, of that same book of Romans, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." It says, that's the 10th verse. The 9th verse says, "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." How did we come under sin? By the first pervert? Who is that first pervert? Satan? What did he pervert? He perverted the word of God, for God, who walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, gave them everything. All was theirs, except God just wanted to let them know that he was still God and they were not. For he said, everything is yours. Eat whatever you want except this fruit of this tree. What was that tree? It was the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan came, not to Adam, but to Eve, because he knew the woman was stronger than the man. And he knew if he could get the woman, he'd certainly get the man. So he perverts, he just puts a little question and says, did God really say, eat of the fruit of this tree and you'll die? For God did say that. That's my added. And Satan went on to say, ye shall not surely die. But if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. How is that? Because you'll know good and evil. And if you know good and evil, then you'll be like God. Well, you know, knowledge and power are two different things. They might have had the knowledge of good and evil. We might have the knowledge of good and evil, but that does not make us God. That does not give us power to be God. God, in his gospel, to the ones trusting God, to the ones bathing in God, to the ones grabbing hold of his promises as though they're more real than anything, any circumstance we might encounter in this life, God says he gives us power to become his sons and daughters through faith. And for 2,000 years, the gospel for the majority part has been perverted. It's been perverted by substituting religious activity for faith. I'm sorry, folks. I'll warn you right now. Don't take your testimony to God in that day you face God and tell God, oh, God, how good you were to me. You turned me around. You took my sin and made me perfect. No, we spoke last week of those who gained a good report through faith, died not having received the promise, God having us in mind, that they without us should be made perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, God is looking for faith. God gives a measure of faith, it is said, is given to every man. But it's where you place your faith. It is where the object of your faith is. And we who put our faith in the Word of God through grace and activating that faith. Give God the praise and have the understanding that salvation is of God, not of us. I want you to hear the words of Paul, of which Martin Luther said that these are the most important verses of all of Scripture, for they culminate in this, where God had promised. A redeemer, and so much of the Old Testament testifies of that promise. But in this third chapter of the book of Romans, of which I agree with Luther, that the whole Bible is understood in these verses. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. No flesh shall be righteousified in his sight. No flesh. I don't care what you are doing for God. I don't care what you've stopped doing for God. No flesh shall be righteousified in his sight by the deeds of the law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law, you come to the understanding that you don't sin because you're a sin, no, that you're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. I am a sinner. But now, and pay attention to the buts and the thens when you come across them in Scripture. And this might be the most important but of all. But now, a proper translation, not the, a, the law was an expression of God's righteousness. It was a standard set out. It was a standard that said, if you keep it, you live forever. But every graveyard in the world proves none could keep it. 21st verse, but now a righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's revealed. It's opened up. It's here to be seen, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That's the testimony of Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the apostles beheld his glory. Even a righteousness of God, which is by, and I'll give you the best translation, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, God to those who begin trusting in him, who begin faithing, who begin grabbing hold and acting upon his promises. God gives us the righteousness, or the faith, I should say, of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the ones faithing. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being righteousified freely. Jesus, as we said last week, whom the Son makes free. Whom the Son makes free. Not the preacher who might have delivered some drug addict from his drug addiction. Not the preacher who preached against pornography and turned some man from pornography, where now he's not found in pornography, but, you know, his condition, a sinner, he's still a sinner. Being righteousified freely by his grace, unmerited favor, not your works, not my works, not like James would say, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. There, you know, that book of James was not included in any canon prior to the 5th century in the New Testament church. But they tried to rein in grace by saying, yeah, grace saves, but show me your works. Oh, thank you, Lord, for helping me with this message. It's your message. Being righteousified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through the redemption, through the full price paid by Christ. That price of redemption was a perfect life, and there was only one who ever had a perfect life. And that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, whom we who are faithing in him, to whom has also been given the faith of him, shall be with him like he is throughout eternity. By grace, through that full price paid that is in Jesus Christ, whom God, King James says, has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. Let me give it to you this way. Whom God has set before his face forever to be a hilasterion. That's the Greek word in the Old Testament, translated mercy seat. That's the place where God would meet with man. It's in Christ Jesus. Would set before his face forever to be the place where we meet, that is in Jesus, through faith in his blood. The blood always represents the life. Through faith in his life to declare God's righteousness for the remission of sin. God has the right, no one else. Sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. God knew what was coming. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that is God's righteousness, that he might be righteous and the righteousifier of him that has the faith of Jesus, literally. Where's the boasting then? Oh God, I did this. Oh God, I did that. Oh God, I stopped doing this. Oh God, I stopped doing that. No, the law required perfect, perpetual performance. That is, all the time, always 1 second, 1 minute falling short, you missed. Where's the boasting then? Paul says. In other words, Paul has just finished saying that God in Jesus Christ has done it all. He is the one who has reconciled us unto himself through Jesus Christ, through the redemption, by grace, through faith. Where's the boasting then? Paul says. It is excluded. No room for boasting. By what law? The boasting is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but the law of faith. A gift of God, and you received it, I received it. Therefore, we conclude that a man is righteousified by faith without the deeds of the law. Martin Luther, in his German translation, added the word alone, by faith alone, without the deeds of the law. Because James writes, I don't know if James even wrote it, you know, he was never an apostle during the life of Christ, appointed only because of that Middle Eastern tradition of you know, the bloodline being followed, the purported brother or stepbrother of Christ. What he was, it doesn't make any difference. It's what is written there, because he says that faith without works is dead. No, Paul, whom God called to save, to rescue the message of the gospel of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, says, therefore we conclude. This is the conclusion of it all. That a man is righteousified by faith without the deeds of the law. Therein, when a man preaches for hire, when a scribe teaches for money, when man would pervert the gospel, Paul says in this Galatian letter, that wonderful letter of independence to the Christian, he says, and Paul gives the gospel again. I'm just going to read for a bit. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, You know, he didn't get his credentials going to, you know, Liberty Baptist College. He didn't get his credentials from Dallas Theological Seminary or whatever other cemetery men come out of. Paul, a sent one, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him, that is, Jesus, from the dead, as it says on our homepage, the resurrection is the foundation and cornerstone of all of Christianity. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches at Galatia, grace, unmerited favor be to you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Who gets the glory here? God! Not the one who was turned around, not the one who turned another one around. God gets the glory. We live in a perverted world. I hate this LGBTQ, blah, 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 whatever it is. These, you know, ones who are males and say they're not, but want to turn to females. Those who are males but say they not, say they're not, want to be turned to males. God is the only one who has the power to say that which is, which is not. That is, that which is not righteous, he can call it righteous. Only God. But let me go on and say, fifth verse of Galatians 1, to whom be, that is God and our Father, be glory forever and ever. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we, Paul repeats himself, as we said before, so say we again. If any, it says, man here is in italics, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Anathema. God damned. And like Paul, who said of all those others, you know, at that church council, they could not be persuaded of the power of the message of the gospel of Paul. So they said, okay, Peter, we'll send you to the Jews, and Paul, we'll send you to the Gentiles. He said, let the Jews, let them keep their religion. Paul will send you to the Gentiles. Only do this. You know, at least let them keep the kosher laws. You know, let them have a little work of their own. Let them have a little work of the law. What was Paul's conclusion? But these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it make no matter to me. God accepts no man person. That for they who seem to be somewhat, in conference, they added nothing to me. Before he said that, he said this: to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. That I pray that the truth of the gospel be with you. That's why that verse in the fifth chapter of Micah didn't stop. It almost did, but it didn't stop me. These evil times, this perversion of the world as we understand through God's book, the fleshly perversions have always been there. You know, if you want to talk about other perversions, how does somebody who worked in government, that is, who worked for the people, become a multimillionaire? Bribes. It's an evil time we live in, but I'm not going to keep silence. And the most evil, the most perverted of any in the world are those who pervert the gospel, and God, through Paul, says, let them be God damned. If you've heard this message, and I believe, I have every confidence, it's a powerful message, I do want to hear from you now. If you're on, I was going to say if you're on shortwave radio, but we've passed the time of shortwave radio. But those who have listened to this message at thegodschool.com, I want to hear from you. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.